I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Here.
Councilmember Nelson.
Here.
Councilmember Page.
Here.
So can I remind everybody in the audience to silence their electronics? I would appreciate that. I would entertain a motion for the agenda approval.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We were to have, we have first thing first is the oath of office.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight, I would like to introduce you to our newest reserve police officer. As you know, our program, we've hired our last two full-time officers through our reserve program, so we're excited to continue to hire. Pamela, come on up.
She's right there.
So Pamela, she's not coming to us brand new. She has over 25 years of experience in public safety, not wearing the uniform, usually sitting behind telling us where to go and what to do as a dispatcher. So a little bit of a different new adventure for her, but we are very excited to have her on board. So her sister Kendra is going to come on up and pin her badge on first.
Yay!
Yes. Who's got the pictures? Camera?
Kevin.
Okay, now you
know. No tears. And as you guys know, reserves come out and do this job for free. So it's hard enough to find full-time law enforcement officers, let alone someone who wants to put in the hours and the time to serve the community for free. So just a big, huge thank you for Pam for coming on board with us. The mayor here is going to do our oath of honor and oath of office. But I also wanted to thank all of our officers who came out tonight on their own time and her family and friends, which speaks volumes of her character to come out and support her. So, yeah. So go ahead and stand up here.
Raise your right hand. I, Pamela Mandry.
I, Pamela Mandry.
Have been duly appointed to the position of reserve officer.
Have been duly appointed to the position of reserve officer.
For the city of Black Diamond, Washington.
For the city of Black Diamond, Washington.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties of my office.
Discharge the duties of my office.
As prescribed by law.
As prescribed by law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
I will support and maintain.
I will support and maintain.
All valid ordinances.
All valid ordinances.
Of the city of Black Diamond.
Of the city of Black Diamond.
The laws and the Constitution.
The laws and the Constitution.
Of the United States, of the state of Washington and the United States of America.
Of the state of Washington and the United States of America.
I, Pamela Mandry, having been duly appointed to the position of reserve officer.
I, Pamela Mandry, have been duly appointed to the position of reserve officer.
For the city of Black Diamond.
For the city of Black Diamond.
Washington pledge as follows.
Washington pledge as follows.
On my honor.
On my honor.
I will never betray my badge.
I will never betray my badge.
My integrity, my character.
My integrity, my character.
Or the public trust.
Or the public trust.
I will always have.
I will always have.
The courage to hold myself.
The courage to hold myself.
And others accountable for their actions.
And others accountable for their actions.
I will always uphold the Constitution.
I will always uphold the Constitution.
My community and the agency I serve.
My community and the agency I serve.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Chief Kiblinger and Commander Larry,
he is,
for believing in me and giving me this opportunity. I'm really excited to be able to be a reserve officer with the Black Diamond Police Department, and it's an incredible department. The officers are
the best, are
incredible as well. I couldn't be more proud to be a part of this family and be more welcomed to this family, and I'm excited to be able to serve this community as well, and I'm really looking forward to the future and what it holds. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you all soon.
Welcome.
It's her birthday too.
So the next item on the agenda was the King County Council member Reagan Dunn, but he called and canceled today and has rescheduled for January 16th. So he will be here at our meeting on January 16th. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Make a motion for the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now it's time for public comment. If you wish to address council, please step forward up to the podium and state your name and city residence, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Kristen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. Tonight, I want to comment to you as part of the Black Diamond Trees Road Environment Engagement Team to address several problems with the current city process for zoning amendments. The Planning Commission held a zoning amendment hearing on October 8, 2019. The city is aware that the comprehensive plan adopted on May 2, 2019 is in the midst of an appeal to the State Growth Management Hearings Board for violations of the Growth Management Act. The appeal points out that the public notice about future land use map changes in the comp plan did not convey the additional residential units of development and also commercial units of development that would likely result. Basic details that should have been in the comp plan like the impact from this new development on public services, traffic concurrency, the acreage changing, and population forecasts that should accompany future land use map change were not in the comprehensive plan. Medium density residential allowing up to 12 units per acre, commercial units that generate more traffic than residential, that allow apartments and neighborhood commercial that allows mixed use, including residences, all were not addressed directly as to their impact on services, nor did the public get proper notice that these changes were in the plan. It appears the city's intent now is to change the zoning of the properties before the comprehensive plan appeal is decided in January. That is a risky and unnecessary course of action. This could result in a zoning change that is inconsistent with the comp plan and necessitate further disputes or further public hearings and adjustment. The city had a comp plan open house in April of 2019 and has had three comp plan public hearings in the year and a half since then. If you have to make a change again because the appeal prevails in some way, you will have to have more hearings. This is going to result in fatigue. People want to feel listened to, but they don't want to have to come every few months to remind the city of what they said last time. The city should wait until the completion of the appeal before considering any zoning legislation. If the city does wish to consider rezoning, it should do the analysis of the analysis of the impacts as part of the comprehensive plan. This is a city requirement as well as a GMA requirement. The city should make sure the public is aware of the amount of development and its expected impacts. For instance, this letter here tonight, while I think there's some inaccuracies and some details that could be added, why wasn't something like this letter in the comprehensive plan last year that went to public hearing to tell people what the changes were? This is the letter from the community development director for the meeting tonight I'm referring to. There were also problems with the public notice of the October 8th hearings that made it so the public could not fully participate. Publication of notice of the hearing in a newspaper of general circulation was required under city and state law.
Your time is up.
But the notice in the Voice of the Valley didn't meet that requirement. And the zoning materials didn't include any text about the proposal for zero lot lines in residential areas. Thank you.
Bill? You can't do that.
I don't need it.
Is there anybody else wishing to address town council? Mike?
No, I am already, right?
Yep, I know who you are.
Yeah, I'm getting to know who you are, too.
Well, that's good to know.
I got this here, but... Yes, you know.
Please introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, my name's Mike Eagle. I live in Black Diamond.
Thank you.
Okay, and you guys are getting bigger.
We are.
It's good. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I was at the public meeting the last time for the expansion, and the public came out and told you what they thought. But this gentleman here didn't think the public was going to come out enough so that you would hear us, what we wanted to do in a prior meeting of hearing the public. So, you know, maybe you'll remember that down the road. So we're all here trying to tell you, yeah, I've got 3 minutes, okay? So in the confusion of the last meeting we had, yeah, I think I'm just going to stop.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council?
These people ain't going to listen to
me. Phil?
You're looking at
some crowded
faces.
Good evening. My name is Philip Acosta, Black Diamond, Lake Shore area. Normally I'm here to talk a little bit about traffic issues, specifically 288th and 169, but I guess this would relate to traffic issues if there's an increase in density here on this proposed zoning change. There are numerous issues with the zoning proposal currently working its way through city review. The city should correct these problems before they lead to results that are not in the public interest or are subject to further challenge or expense. Prior to the October 8th hearing, I sent in a comment letter on the zoning amendments, but there were issues with the packet of information provided to the public via the city's public notice. These include the zoning amendment materials, did not include any description of the acreage of the parcel. I see something that's updated that here tonight. Or the number of units of housing or commercial space that could be built in these parcels. Without this, it was impossible to understand the impact on public services. This is important because analyzing the traffic impact, the school impact, and the need for city services is required before a rezone. The meeting materials linked online did not provide any delineation between where the comp plan update hearing material stopped and where the zoning material started. The public deserves to have full transparency and all reasonable information prior to hearings on proposals that will affect residents. Additionally, financial conflicts of interest of individuals must not be allowed to interfere in decisions that could be made based on what is best for the public as a whole. Specifically, I'm referring to the property owned by a prominent planning commissioner. The staff was aware that this commissioner had a personal financial interest in the outcome of the zoning process. They must have been aware that he had already submitted permit applications to develop the property. The permit application to develop this property indicates plans to build a strip mall with 830 parking spaces and 132 apartment units. However, according to the current city code zoning map, the property in question is light industrial. The development application does not fit the zoning, and yet the city has not objected or rejected the application. I formally request the city return the application to the applicant and cease processing it due to nonconformance with the zoning for the property. You received a letter from a group listing the issues with the Planning Commission public hearing held October 8, 2019. A response is requested to let us know how you will address each of these issues. Do I have a little time left?
You got 5 seconds.
Did I get that time you promised?
It's not a year.
We can't. Right. We don't do that.
Oh, you don't?
No. No.
Okay, I'll save it for the next time. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to address council? Mr. Williamson?
Amy Williamson, Black Diamond. I stand for you as a Kiwanis member, as a past president, and I wanted to make sure that you are all invited to the Kiwanis Thanksgiving lunch that we've provided for around 6 years. It's open to all the members of the community, and it's no donation. It's free. We cook all the turkeys the Kiwanis Club does, and we partner with the PTA. It's at the Black Diamond Gymnasium, and it's on the Sunday the 24th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and last year we served over 300 meals, so it's a very hectic, busy day for us, but we'd like everybody to come out from the community, and it's a good community bonding thing where people can all come together and share a meal, and it's Sunday the 24th from 11 to 1 a.m., and it's no charge, and we would love to see all of the elected officials there and all the people in the audience, and it's free, and come and join and get to know your neighbors. Thank you.
Bill?
I'm Bill Bryant, 25100 Roberts Drive, Black Diamond. On October 8, 2019, the Planning Commission meeting had numerous substantial problems. One was open public meeting. It was an act violation. There was an open public meeting act violation when the Planning Commission called it at recess, and then four of the seven commissioners went into the hallway to have a private discussion of commission business. Under state law, an open public meeting act violation makes all the actions that followed at the meeting null and void. Hearing the record confusion, there were two public hearings on the agenda, but the public was not given enough information to understand when to comment on which items. The city's public participation plan requires that the hearing be conducted in an orderly fashion. Based on what I heard, it is almost impossible for the city to have a proper hearing record that respects the public's input. At the past hearings, people had 5 minutes to comment, but on October 8, people were cut off at 3 minutes because of high attendance. Large attendance is a reason to extend the hearings, not cut people off. More public participation should be encouraged. The hearings should be reopened. Attendance and others should be notified and given additional opportunity to comment. The planning commissioner participation, despite potential personal financial interest. Planning Commissioner Butt stayed in the meeting even after it was pointed out by members of the public that he owns a large property that was being considered for rezone. That's all I have to say. The other thing I'd like to say is it took me a whopping 57 minutes to get home from Renton today. Okay? Thank you. So the traffic is not here.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Is that Bonnie?
Hi, I'm Bonnie England from Black Diamond, and I heard there was another dog who got sick from Lake Sawyer's water, but I haven't heard what the findings of the testing was yet, if it came through or not. Do you know?
It came through negative twice. They took another one this week and one last week, and they both have been negative.
That's kind of odd. But anyways, I still say there's something wrong with the waters, no matter what these tests are coming out with. And hopefully you can get it fixed. Thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no public hearings or unfinished business and no new business. So, department reports, Chief Smith. Oh, Commissioner Farrell.
Commissioner Farrell is going to speak first.
Okay,
because
let's go
I
for
always
it.
Get to say the easy and nice things and leave the real work to the chief. But it is a moment that I'd like to talk a little bit about an ad hoc committee that we had going with the fire department and members of the city council to work out mutual concerns about the fire department. And one of the persons that has served on that committee with grace and a lot of patience with me is Janie Edelman. Janie is leaving that because she is not standing for re-election. And the fire department would like to go ahead and present her with an appreciation of service from Mountain View Fire and Black Diamond from the ad hoc committee.
Thank you.
And there is something very interesting on there.
Why don't I walk over on that side? And this is a total surprise.
Well, it was meant to be. That's
so sweet. Turn your clock around.
Munchie.
Right?
Yeah.
Not a jab. I'll stand where I stood since I was in kindergarten.
Okay. And on here is a vintage Black Diamond fire department badge.
Nice.
I'm not dying and I'm not moving.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. We run all the time. So at the panorama. Okay, so you each have a copy of my report in front of you there. The engine 98 responded to 3 fires during this reporting period. They all were in Maple Valley, so at mutual aid. So that's a good thing when we go to other people's fires. Matter of fact, Mountain View provides, you know, we keep track of the statistics of you know, mutual aid, because it's it's all done by computer, right? So it's predetermined if someone has a fire, who's going to go. So so we actually, when we look at our statistics, we provide about 50% more mutual aid to other agencies than we have coming in. So I think that's pretty good for us, because that means that most of the time we can handle whatever we have is going on. Most of the time it's a residential fire. So when you get a residential fire, even Seattle uses mutual aid. So you know, you need a lot of people when you have fires, so they come in. So yeah. That's those three fires that we went to. They were mutual aid with Maple Valley. 20 EMS calls for hazardous conditions. We had a lot of trees down with wires down. Remember the windstorm we had the other night. Wasn't even a storm, right? Because we know what windstorms look like. So probably still wouldn't have electricity if it was a storm. Four service calls. Most of those were patient assists. In fact, I read through all the reports, and one of the calls was the guys from Station 98 actually went and helped there was a 90-year-old lady, and her husband couldn't change her sheets. So the guys went and helped her, helped him change the sheets.
Wow.
So,
that's who they are.
But that's good. Cool. That's good. That's what we're here for. So, good intent, 8. That means there really wasn't. Somebody called 911, and they probably didn't need to. False call was 1. So 40 incidents, 1.9 per day. And so I looked at it, and we had 5 calls on one day and 3 calls 5 days in a row, and there was a few days when we only had 1 call. So we come and go. Some of the calls we had, and another one was we had a 2-year-old decided it was a good thing to chew on a Tide Pod. So,
oh,
you know, Tide Pods. Yeah, so keep your Tide, because they look like candy. So yeah. Keep your Tide Pods put away. My wife keeps them away, so I won't eat them. So let's see. Oh, another thing is we've renumbered all of the fire apparatus and aid vehicles in King County have renumbered, because there's 3 zones in King County. Zone 3 is pretty much everything south, Renton and everything south. Renton, Tuffalo, everything south is Zone 3. Everything northeast of that is Zone 2, no, 1. Excuse me, Zone 1, and then Seattle is Zone 5. It used to be a 2 and a 3. Federal Way used to be 2. We combined 2 and 3 into 3, and there used to be a 1 and a 2 up in the north, and it's all Zone 1 now. So anyway, make that long story shorter. We've added everything, all the vehicles in South King County, including let's take Engine 98. You got on the radio, you would get on the way and say, this is engine 98. Now there's a 3 in front of it, 398.
Oh, okay.
So if you hear, if you guys ever listen to scanners or anything like that, so if the numbers are the same, the only difference is they've added a 3 to the front. For zone 3, there's a 1 in zone 1, and there's a 5 in Seattle. So a little trivia there. For the month of October, there were 1,200 hours of volunteer time that averaged 3.2 people on per night. That total time, that 1,200 hours doesn't include the 4 times a week they have to come in and drill. So that's about 4. That's about 8, about another 20 hours a month that they're drilling on top of that. The King County Medic 1 levy passed. It's like at 79%. I think it's one of the highest we've ever seen. And it did fail one time many years ago, and then we ran it. So but it does really good. So part of that new Medic 1 funding will help fund what's called a mobile integrated health services. And so we are going to, there's Valley Regional Fire Authority, which is Auburn Fire Department, Federal Way Fire Department, which is South King, and us, Mountain View, are going together, and we are putting together that community assistance program. It's called South King Cares. And so when our firefighters go out and to an EMS call, they now fill out all the paperwork on it, like an iPad, right? And so let's use this for an instance, the 90-year-old couple that needed help getting it. So they really don't, you know, they don't know, they don't have help, they don't know where to go get it, so they call 911, right? And we go help. And so in cases like that, they'll be able to check a little box. And then a firefighter, EMT, and a social worker will actually come out and pay those people a visit and help see if they can get them hooked up with some other social help. So they don't have to call 911 all the time when those type of things happen. So we'll be part of that program starting in January, and that will be funded by, there's a little bit of extra funds that's coming from the EMS levy this past. So we will, us and Auburn Fire and Federal Way are going together to staff that. So we'll be doing that start from January. And I'll give you more information on that as we know, because it's new for us too. The new fire engine. So we got our contract back from HTAC by.
So can I just interrupt you for a minute? So we didn't get a copy of it.
The contract?
Yeah, they didn't.
I think Brenda got a copy.
Oh, did you get a copy?
If you would have been at the meeting today, you would have had a copy.
Oh,
because
I didn't.
Oh, well, you already signed it, so usually once
you
get contracts.
Oh, okay.
It was signed copy, and then it went to them, and they were supposed to sign it,
right.
And then it was sent back. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Remember, I called a couple of weeks ago, and they said, right. Yeah, it was coming. Yeah. I still hadn't seen it, so I called again. And anyway, that's done. That process is done. So right now we're writing an RFP, and that RFP will go out to several manufacturers telling them that we are going to purchase off HTAC buy. So that's the next step, and we should have that done in the next few weeks. We start our district audit this month, and we're only required to be audited about every two or three years, but we... Our board of fire commissioners likes to have our department audited every single year. So the state auditor comes in. It costs us a little bit extra money, but I think it's important for us. And we actually have all of our financial audits on our webpage. If anybody wants to take a look at that. And all of our board members, and I also attended the yearly State Commissioners Legal and Emergency Issues Seminar. That's why I call it that, civic conference. So, but we went, it was up at the Tulalip, and there was over 400 commissioners there. So I get really nervous when I'm not doing the commissioners. But, so it was a really good, I think that was the largest, before that, the largest one was when Commissioner Farrell was the president of that association. So it's a really well attended, and it's a lot of lawyers there telling us, you know, all the new laws and going on this type of thing. So it's a real good thing for us to do. So I think that is all I've got, unless someone has a question. Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
I apologize for not being at this public safety meeting today.
I wasn't there either.
You missed some good
time. I put my wife's cat that she's had for 19 years.
So hard for a family. Chief Barlow did a fine job.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any more department reports?
Good evening.
Ms. Kincaid.
Yes. Mayor and council members, thank you. I just wanted to give you a brief update. And I have an ask for you to consider holding an extra meeting on December 30th. What we're doing, remember we did our comprehensive plan update. This is the periodic update required by the state. And then every year we can do an annual amendment to that comp plan. We're in our annual amendment process, and it's a tight time frame. So we have the PC working on, the Planning Commission working on the preliminary docket. In fact, you heard some testimony in October. We had a well-attended Planning Commission meeting. We appreciated the people that came out and gave input. This Tuesday, we'll have another Planning Commission meeting working on the docket as a follow-up to the hearing and discussing the testimony that we heard. We hope it's as well attended as October's meeting. The once the Planning Commission gets through, the way the process goes is they will send you a recommendation with the preliminary docket recommendation. You will be seeing that in the December 2nd is what we have scheduled for a public hearing. Then if you approve of this docket, you send it back to the Planning Commission and they actually work on the amendments. So you can see time is getting very compressed here to have this thing adopted by the end of the year. And so, I would like to ask you to hold a special meeting to have a hearing and adopt those comprehensive plan amendments, the annual amendments, on December 30th. And the reason really why it's so important to do that is, we're working with the Puget Sound Regional Council on certification for the plan. We expect that they will have some things that they need to have changed. I'll be seeing their draft certification letter next week. And they need to take that to their board in February. That's kind of driving the timeline, in addition to the fact that we want to get this annual amendment on track, on schedule. And we'd shifted and lost time in our update. So just, it's not as big of a lift as this update that we just got through. The amendment is going to be correcting some errors that we made in the May updated plan, addressing some of the comments that were missed. This is another chance. Comprehensive plan amendments, annual amendments, really give the opportunity every year for us to sort of listen to input and make tweaks. So these are tweaks. In addition to the PSRC request that they make for certifying the comp plan. And then also we will be adopting the school capital facilities plans. We have a general statement in the adopted plan now, but just to sort of set the stage as you all work on contemplating whether or not you want to adopt school impact fees, we want to set the stage for that and have those school capital facilities plans named in the comp plan. So would you be willing to hold a December 30th meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then just a couple of other things. We have a Planning Commission vacancy. Our Planning Commissioner, Steve Jensen, his term is up. He's been a fantastic Planning Commissioner. He's not sure if he wants to re-up because it's a four-year term, and he thinks he may, and his wife may be retiring in a couple of years, and just not sure if he wants to commit. But anyway, we have that notice posted, and we would like to encourage people to apply for it. I don't think, Brenda, we haven't gotten any applications yet. So
when does that close?
When does it?
I got that book. I don't know.
Soon?
Yeah.
In a week, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm thinking next week.
No,
yeah.
This month.
Yeah, and so that is my department report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I make a comment?
Yes.
Maybe could you encourage Mr. Jensen to sign up anyway, and then if his life changes, just like all of us that have changes in our lives, stay as long as he can stay.
I will try again.
Yeah.
Mr. Esping.
Public Works Facilities. I just wanted to let you know that, to follow up what the chief said about the call with the Tide tablet, I just wanted you to know I know that family really well, and the firefighters, the EMTs that were on that call actually came by a day or two later and stopped by to see how the little guy was doing. So I just thought that was kind of important for you to
That's
know.
That's great.
You
yeah.
took the time to do that.
Yeah,
thank you.
So I will move on to the mayor's report. So in the mayor's report, I had put in the packet the 2020 legislative agenda. This is our second year of providing a legislative agenda. We started last year because of some transportation issues, and one of the biggest one is the transportation issue that we're partnering with Covington and Maple Valley and Issaquah and North Bend and Snoqualmie and the Snoqualmie Indian Tribe and the chambers for Black Diamond and Maple Valley and Snoqualmie and Covington. So anyway, so we changed the wording, so our wording for the Highway 18 ask for the to get the construction funds is so that it's about the same for all the different entities. And so basically that was the biggest change. And then we did find out that the Flood Control Board put our culverts on their capital improvement plan for about $2.3 million, I believe, and want to build a bridge. And we have some, they're going to provide the funding. We've already been doing some studying about rehabbing the culverts, but the bridge would be a much better project, and it would last a lot longer than the rehab. And so they've been working with us and helped us get this on their capital improvement plan so that we can possibly in the next couple of years build a bridge over Covington Creek and have much better fish passage. So that's just the update on the legislative agenda. So I presented it to the Finance Committee, and I would appreciate a vote on it tonight so that we can present it when I meet with Covington and Maple Valley in the next couple of weeks, that we have our agenda confirmed by council. Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I think this is really an important thing for us to do and to pass it tonight. I go to what we call the CLTC meeting, Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Coalition. This has become a really powerful group of people down in Olympia, where we all went down last year, and where there was not going to be any money in any budget forever for Highway 18. We now have some planning money that's been designated. Now that may change with Initiative 976, but as of yesterday, it was still there. We're trying to be consistent with our neighboring cities so that when whoever goes down for the legislative days in Olympia, these are the marching orders, and these, when we meet with the legislators, this is what we want them to work on, which is on the best interest for our citizens using our tax dollars. So I would like to see this come up for a vote tonight. So if nobody else has anything to say, I move that we adopt the 2020 legislative agenda.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I went on Tuesday 10/29. We had our wellness walk in the Lake Sawyer Regional Park. We had about 20 people attend, which was a very good turnout. On Wednesday 10/30, we had an SAA, Sound Cities Association Networking Dinner, and it was retiring officials from different cities talking about what contributions they made to their community and why they felt that it was important for people to serve their communities and being a public servant. And it was very interesting, different variety of people. And then Thursday on 10/31, I was invited mayors or city managers or city administrators to attend a tour of SeaTac Airport of their North Satellite. And it was kind of funny because one of the things they addressed was the buses that they were using to get you from the North Satellite to the main terminal, because they have added a new section that has 10 new terminals, but the old section they have torn down and they're replacing it. And so there's no connection from the new terminal to the old terminal. So when we came home from visiting my sister in California, we got bused to the main terminal, and we had no idea. And it felt really weird, but they said there's a lot of security, and it's very safe, and they're very nice buses. So they're kind of like the trains that run. They open doors on one side, and you get out on the other side, and very efficient, and our luggage all got there. So it was interesting, but it was an interesting tour because of how much money they're spending on this North Satellite, and they said when it is done, it still isn't going to cover all of the traffic that needs to be covered. So they're looking, they have formed a coalition to look for other places to put airports, and they named, you know, Kitsap County, Pierce County. They said Moses Lake has the longest runway in the nation, but it's people don't, from Eastern Washington, don't want to go there. So it's a, but it's a training facility. That's why it has a big runway. So anyway, it was a very, very interesting tour. There was a lot of local mayors there and some of their city administrators, and just got to meet with some people that I hadn't met before. Most of the people I meet from around here, I know most as the South County mayors, but there was a lot of different mayors on this tour. And then on Tuesday, I went to the Southeast Legislation, Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Coalition with Janie, and talked with our legislators and about presenting a united front to the legislature and telling them what our ask was and coming up with some statistics on people that have died on 18. And that's what the Snoqualmie Indians did last year. They brought pictures of all the people that they've lost that worked in the casino, and it was very impactful. So anyway, that was a really good meeting, and they're 8 to 9, and they're always an hour long, and they're done. So that was really good. So time for our council reports. Council Member Page, you're first up today.
Well, I guess the first thing I have to report is that last week I was on vacation, so I didn't really have much activity here in the state. I was celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, so that was good. On Monday, attended the joint meeting between city councils and Eden Claw Schools. And that was really informative, so appreciate getting that put together. And I guess the other thing I wanted to say, and she's not here though, is I wanted to congratulate Officer Mandari and thank her for stepping up for that as a volunteer. So that's a, you know, really a great thing for her to do. And then I guess I just wanted to kind of make a comment about the public comments, and that is that I really do appreciate people having, you know, some courage to stand up to the mic. I know it's a hard thing to do in front of a bunch of people like this, but, you know, I really do listen to those comments, and I may not know all of the backstory behind the comments, but I'm kind of building a little bit of a, I guess, library of knowledge by hearing those comments. And so I really do encourage people to stand up, and if they have some strong feelings, to make those comments and trust that you are being heard. And then the last thing I wanted to say is I did want to thank the mayor and Councilmember Edelman and other council members that are involved in this coalition, because I think it is doing a lot of good for our community, and good that our community by itself probably wouldn't be able to do. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's my comments.
Councilmember Deedy.
So quickly, congratulations to Pamela Mandari, Jamie. all our reserves are excellent. We did get a couple. I think we actually got 4 one time, and 2 went and got hired somewhere.
Three?
Yeah, so it's an excellent program, and I think she'll fit in perfect here in Black Diamond. So welcome to her. So I attended the finance meeting. I did attend the Legislation and Transportation Coalition meeting, whatever.
CLTC.
There it is. With Janie and Carol. Very interesting meeting. I enjoyed it, so I'll be attending those as well in the future. And the meeting with the Enumclaw School Board, the Enumclaw Council, and Black Diamond Council as well. Mayor attended. She forgot to mention that. That's all.
I always forget something. How can you do that? Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. Just like everybody else, let's see, on October 24th, we
most of us, I think, attended the special meeting and work study that we had here in the city hall here, or the location, yep, where we were talking about accepting bids for the city official paper. So that's what we worked on that time. On October 30th, I did also attend the SCA dinner, which was held in Renton with the mayor and Councilmember Nelson. And that was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, and Ms. Selt here, yes. We all three attended that. Great dinner, great information regarding the three city officials that were retiring. I think one was from North Bend, one was from Covington, and the other one's from Redmond, if I remember correctly. Great dinner, great food, good connection with other city council members. Just to connect with other city council members, talk about city issues and stuff. It's a great way to connect. I look forward to attending more in the future. Let's see, what else did we do? November, what's today? I did attend the school dinner with everybody else, and we did tour of the Kibler School, I say that right?
Kibler
School in Enumclaw, which is built in 1915. Needs a lot of work and upgrades. There's a lot of leakage. So I look forward to seeing how we can, as a school district, being Enumclaw School District is part of Black Diamond, how we can help in the future and look at that and get that school kind of built up. Let's see. And then just today, with November 7th, with our safety meeting, we talked about our new fire truck, and look forward to seeing that in, what, December, November, May 2020, hopefully, is our goal. It usually takes quite a bit to see that fire truck come through, so we're excited to see our new fire truck in the future. Yeah.
Councilmember Edelman.
On the 29th, I attended the Public Works Committee meeting, and the big topic of a discussion there was the Cedarbrook Mobile Home Park, which is now called Diamond Valley MHC, which I think is Mobile Home Community. Anyway, we met the owner and the manager, and they're very interested in working with the city on water issues, because there's only one water meter for the entire park as far as the city billing is concerned. But now the new owners have come through and metered every individual resident. And so how that impacts some of those folks that are senior low income, the city has a lifeline program where they get a reduced rate because they are seniors and low income. So the city's trying to work with the owner to figure out how they can do that so that these folks that need that extra break get it, because those are the people in our town that need the assistance. So that was a very interesting meeting. Also on the 29th, there was a King County meeting held at the Maple Valley Library to discuss the beaver issues. And so my husband and I went to that. We didn't stay long because it was, well, it's because everybody's having rodent issues, you know? And so what it amounted to was they wanted to talk to the unincorporated King County residents about all of the damage that's being done due to the beavers. And so it was obvious that they didn't care about the municipalities. The beavers are our problem. So then on the 4th, I went to the Enumclaw School District dinner, and it was interesting to go through that old school that's actually older than I am. By a year. But they need a new school, and they're hoping to be able to pass a bond issue and be able to do like they did at the Lake Wilderness School in Tahoma, is build the new school, put the kids in it, and then tear down the old school. So I hope that happens. And like we've all talked about, the CLTC meeting, that is really a great meeting. And I'm hoping that maybe I can still participate even as a civilian in the future. And then today we had the public safety meeting, which was kind of interesting to get back into the swing of that too. So, and I also, you know, for the chief, the fire department, this is just huge. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Councilmember Stout.
I'm not going to say much that's very different from everyone else. I did attend the Public Works meeting where we had the representatives of the mobile home park, and we did discuss the Lifeline program pretty extensively. And we kind of kicked around quite a few options for expanding that program in the future to more of our residents. So we'll see how that goes to begin with, and then we may be able to expand it. At the Sound Cities Association networking dinner on the 30th, the panel discussion was really great with the three retiring elected officials who have served for a long time. Margaret Harto from Covington is just an elegant lady, and she served in the schools, I think PTA, for many, many years, and then has served as a mayor and council member of Covington. And she had some really good advice for how we can build our communities as elected officials. And she just really kind of touched my heart with her her good service and her good advice. This is a networking dinner. So before we have dinner and the panel discussion, we have quite a bit of time to visit with each other and discuss how things are going in our communities and what pertinent topics are. And I had a good discussion with Nancy Backus, who is the mayor of Auburn. And she's working on this homelessness issue. I can never remember exactly what it's called.
Skip.
No, the...
Oh, it's a different...
The public something authority.
Housing.
It's not housing. It's about a cooperation between Seattle and King County pooling their money to intervene in crisis situations of homelessness, not chronic homelessness or the root issues of homelessness, but a crisis situation. And I have had some pretty serious reservations about how that is going forward, but she knows a lot more about it than I do, and we had a really good discussion, and she kind of opened my eyes, and I intend to meet with her again within the next week or so just to kind of get more of my head wrapped around how that's going to work. So that's part of why we go to these networking dinners, is to make connections with other people who serve in the community and can kind of nod their heads or shake their heads and say, wait, this is how this works a little bit better. So I appreciated that. I attended a finance committee meeting. One of the interesting issues about that, when we work in the finance committee, we basically are going through the checkbook of the city. We go page by page, line by line, every item that the city has spent any money upon. And a lot of them are pretty routine, and we get used to seeing kind of the same things coming through. But this time we had a jury trial, which is not typical. We don't often have a jury trial. And so we had all of the reimbursement for all of our jurors, and there were just pages and pages and pages of checks that the city had cut to each person who was called, not necessarily who served on the jury, but people who were called to be, what's that word? Anyway, to be part of the group from which they could choose a jury. So, you know, this is one of the things where behind the scenes, one thing happens, like they decide to have a jury trial, and it kind of escalates into this big pack of work for the finance team. So, I mean, it's not that big a deal, and this is their job, and this is what they do, but it was just interesting to see something really different from what they usually do. I attended the Enumclaw School District and Enumclaw City Council meeting on Monday night. The mayors always give kind of their State of the Union address at that meeting. This is the second year that we've done it, and it's a really good opportunity for us to all sit down together, kind of get our heads together, like, where are we all going? We all have similar goals pertaining to schools in our cities. And I think they do a really, really great job. It's good to just sit. We mixed ourselves up. We didn't all sit by our friends. We all moved into other tables so that we were all sitting by people we didn't know, but that was a really good thing to do. And then we toured that school, which is beautiful and elderly. In the gym where we were having dinner, it was freezing cold. They have no heat in there. And then as we took the tour of the school, it was roasting hot because they just can't regulate their heat, and they have old boilers and old antique-y stuff. At least one of the classrooms has original wooden chairs for the students. They're pretty cool chairs, but they're really worn out. And so they're pretty anxious to have a new school. They do a great job of making it look beautiful. Every classroom looks great. But they're pretty, it's pretty antique-y. And they said that in the one long main hallway during the wintertime, they have between 20 and 30 buckets on the ground. And the kids have to just navigate around the buckets. So we need to keep in our minds a priority to have a really good school for those children who attend there. And last of all, I noticed that on Roberts Drive, there has been the very beginnings of work on the Ginder Creek Trail, and that's kind of an exciting development. I don't know how fast that will be completed, but it was just kind of cool to see, like, there's an actual opening and looks like a starting point of where that trail will eventually be. So that was pretty exciting. Thank you.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I was out of town for a family funeral for the 24th, so I was not able to attend those meetings. That weekend there was I think it was Make a Difference Day, and I attended a service event at Mama's Old Place, the public house, whatever we want to call it, right? And did a bunch of cleanup. The place looks great now.
It looks really good.
We had a bunch of friends came down and helped out. I also attended the Enum Claw joint session. Like they said, this is our second year. This is the only type of that type of meeting that Mike knows of, right? Mm-hmm. In existence, where city council and school boards get together at a non-crisis event kind of thing, right? Because we have to get together, right? It's because we want to work together and help them plan going forward. And that school is definitely seen better years. Those wooden chairs are really cool, though, from the original school. But that school is really worn out and they've outgrown it, right? I think Mike said they've added 130 students in the district last year or this year, right? And they just continue to expect as we grow, as Enum Claw grows, as all the surrounding areas grow within the school district, right? They just see growth, and they just can't keep that many kids in that school, especially in the condition it's in. So one of the things that really jumped out to me of all those rooms, there's no storage in any of those rooms. So all the, you know, when you go to a modern school, right, there's nice cubbies and storage for the teacher to store things and stuff. In that school, there's a lot of Tupperware boxes or whatever you want to call them, right, bins everywhere to store stuff, and boxes that are nicely decorated by the kids and the teachers, but there's no storage in any of those rooms. And I think a new school is definitely needed there, so we'll have to work hard in the future to help with that project. So I think that's it.
Councilmember Nelson.
I went to the Sound City dinner. That was amazing. There was a lot of people there. Interesting how many people I've known over the years. But definitely hearing their stories. When you have three different people from three different cities run three totally different ways, give you their idea of how it works, it's kind of eye-opening. Because it was very polar opposites of how the cities run. So it was a good time. I also went to the Enum Claw schools. And when he said they have a boiler to keep, I was like, man. That school is dated, and it brought me back to a long time ago. And even some of the projects the kids are doing are dated. They have some of these touchscreen projectors, about the most updated thing, but they don't have plugins for everything. It's like it's concrete walls. There's no way to put any plugins in there, and it's like one classroom has three plugins. And in today's school, that doesn't even work. So it was definitely a blast from the past of what used to be a long time ago, but it's not anymore. So you go to a new elementary school like we have here in Black Diamond, it's definitely night and day. And that's pretty much where I'm at.
Thank you. Do we have an attorney's report?
Go ahead.
You have more to say?
No, I'm done. I'm good.
I'm happy to yield my time.
Yes. Councilmember Page.
Yes. I just forgot to mention one thing, which was I went over and took a look at the site where they're doing the tree removal, and all I could think of is, wow, those are huge trees. Once they're cut down and you can look at the diameter of those trees, it's huge. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody's interested or not.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, the mayor asked me to follow up on a previous topic that we had discussed, I don't remember if it was last meeting or two meetings ago, regarding the affordable housing sales tax credit and the funding that's available through the state for affordable housing initiatives. And I, at the last meeting where this was discussed, I remember Councilmember Didi especially seemed interested in what kind of options a city would have to either use those funds internally within the city and control the distribution of those versus pooling those funds with other cities so that maybe the small amount of that tax money that the city would receive could be multiplied or magnified with a larger pool from other cities. And so this afternoon, the mayor and I had a phone call with Jeff Tate, who is the his formal job is he's the community development director in Auburn. He's the director of community development for the city of Auburn. But he's also the kind of interim executive manager of the SKIP, of South King Housing and Homelessness Partners. And so SKIP is a coalition of nine cities. SKIP is an entity created through an interlocal agreement with those nine cities. The nine cities, just FYI, are Auburn, Federal Way, Renton, Kent, Tukwila, Covington, Burien, Normandy Park, and Des Moines. So those nine cities have formed this entity. And one of the things that's in their charter, that's in their agreement, is opportunities to pool resources for housing and homelessness prevention efforts and remediation efforts. And so we thought we would reach out to them as being maybe one option that the city could look to if it wanted to try a pooling of those revenues. Now, of course, got to step back a minute. Those revenues aren't going to come unless the council adopts an ordinance to impose the tax and collect the credit from King County. So understanding that the council hasn't made any decisions to do that yet, I'm just trying to kind of inform what the options would be if you were to decide to do that. So SKIP would be one option for pooling, but there are some strings that would come, I think, attached to that pooling option. One is, and it's a little bit up for debate, and we'll need to kind of dig into their ILA, but there's a question about whether the city would have to formally join that coalition and become one of its standing members, which would come with a financial obligation from the city every year. For comparison purposes, the city of Normandy Park, which I think has a fairly comparable population to Black Diamond, the members of that coalition, they pay based on population. So Normandy Park pays $4,000 a year to be a member of that. And so that would be kind of a price of admission if you wanted to do that, if we had to actually join as a member. There's some discussion about whether cities could participate in a pooling program without becoming a member, but it's kind of up in the air how that would actually work. And I don't remember what the exact dollar figures were, but I believe that what we had been told was based on 2019 fiscal year sales taxes, which would be the cap, you probably wouldn't receive more than maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a year in that money anyway. So you'd basically be paying SKIP initiation
right.
fee
and yeah,
how much
right.
more it would you'd get out.
Probably not worth it.
They would, however, probably handle the administrative reporting requirements that the state would require for you to do if you were to accept that money. So anyway, I just thought I'd fill you in on that. It's the organization is still a little bit nebulous in terms of its structure and what they're actually going to do among themselves. They haven't, no, the member cities there, some of them have actually adopted the tax, so they're going to start collecting that money. Others have passed the resolution of intent, but they haven't actually imposed the tax yet. So they're all still trying to figure out exactly how they're going to spend their own money before they figure out how they're going to pool it amongst themselves. But he did say they had been receiving interest from other cities not in the coalition who might be interested in joining. So anyway, I just wanted to pass along that information.
So if you joined it, ILA, mm-hmm. and you paid $4,000 like Normandy Park,
yeah.
what does that pool of money that everybody's pitching into go to? I mean, what, so
yeah.
at some point, you know, if we get $4,000, does that mean mm-hmm. if we have a huge population that needs help that we can draw from that pool, or
have? Yeah, no. We kind of asked those similar questions, and it sounded like all that membership money that they pay every year, that's to fund their administration costs. So they have an executive director and an administrative assistant that money supports, and then those people, those staff members, then coordinate with the cities to figure out how to spend all the extra money or the extra, you know, whatever it is that they contribute.
So personally, myself, I don't think that's a good idea for the city to join that at this time. It makes no sense to pay a staff member or a couple of staff members to oversee how we're going to spend a small amount of money, and we pay a small amount of money to get into.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for helping us passing that. You know, I'm moving forward with getting that funds, but not...
Yeah, so the other option would be, if you were to impose that tax, collect those monies from the state, then you would have to figure out an appropriate way to apply those funds internally within the city somehow that would fulfill the purposes, the intent of the legislation, which is to support construction and preservation of low-income housing and or rental subsidies if you wanted to go that route.
Could we, talking about rental subsidies, could we put together like a grant program or something where we could then dish that money out to needy folks to help them with their rent?
Yeah, I was actually noodling around about that a little bit today with the mayor. I think there's a lot of maybe creative ways you could come up with. Obviously, there's going to be some administration costs or potentially, so you kind of want to keep that to the minimum given you're not working with a lot of funds.
That requires annual reports, too.
It
so
does
you
require,
can't, you know.
Well, I wonder if we could coordinate it with, we could integrate it with maybe something for water for low-income folks? Or?
Can it be used for, like, utility assistance?
Yeah, so these are great questions, and I don't have answers for you right now, and probably want to exchange that kinds of, you know, have that kind of discussion through maybe a memo from me. And actually, I told the mayor I'd be, since this is kind of there's not a lot of money to work with, and it's going for a valuable service. Our firm would be happy to do that brainstorming and analysis pro bono for the city if you wanted to explore ways to spend that money.
Wondering if we could combine with the community center things that they already are providing, if they could boost their program.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
We just don't know what we can use it for yet. So if you want David to go ahead and do some research on it and get back to us, he can get a memo back to us about what.
Yeah,
because I mean, ideally, we want to keep our administrative costs as low, right? Because we're working a small amount of money, right? And we want to get the most benefit out of it, right? And help as many of our underprivileged citizens as possible.
Well, and I think the community center is a great resource because they're the ones that our citizens go to, and they actually have, I think, a voucher system with Puget Sound Energy. So they may be able to have, they've got the resources or they know of the places that we could use too. So, I'd much rather our money go that way.
So is there somebody from King County that could come talk to us about this program, or who's putting it on? You know, who's somebody that has...
Somebody from Skip?
Or from... Yeah.
Probably Skip.
Well, not Skip.
Maybe.
Well, because Skip's the group, right?
Skip is the group.
So I don't want him to make him think that we're going to join, because I don't think that's good. But a different entity that is putting this together that could come out and answer some questions that could get onto the docket for 10 minutes or
something. Right, yeah, we could certainly call around and see what other cities who've already imposed the tax and are expecting the money to start coming in to see if they've come up with plans for how they're going to locally fund housing, low-income housing initiatives, affordable housing initiatives. Perhaps we could identify a couple of other cities who are maybe a little further down the thought process than we are and see if they have any good ideas.
Something else, too, just triggered that I received an email from SCA for the PIC meeting that's next week. The pre-PIC is on homelessness and the limits of enforcement. And there's going to be an MRSC legal consultant, Oscar Ray. He's going to present all the legal limits to enforcement with respect to the homelessness. And then there's the workshop is also going to cover the impact of the recent Martin versus City of Boise decision on local ordinances prohibiting public camping. So the pre-PIC and the PIC is open to everybody. It is an open public meeting, and the pre-PIC is starts at 6 o'clock. It's at the Renton City Hall upstairs, not in the council chambers, but in another conference room. So I would encourage anybody that's interested in this in coming. And then the PIC follows right after that at 7 o'clock. And I can send you all the link with the agenda in case you're interested. Or I can send it to Brenda and you can send it out to everybody. Okay.
Okay, so now it's time for second public comments. Those wishing to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Gary.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council. Gary Davis, Black Diamond. One of the things I wanted to cover this evening was traffic and traffic overflowing our infrastructure. The first thing we should be worrying about Highway 169 is safety right now. If the growth in Black Diamond is going to encourage a four-lane highway to come to town someday, then just say no. It's pretty reasonable to see that where does any town maintain a rural character with a four-lane highway? It's noisy, it discourages walking, and it causes more stormwater pollution. On the other hand, 169 does have some areas that need repaired. The capacity of the road should not be increased, but the questionable areas in terms of potholes and other issues need to be repaired. The fact is that if you expand the roads, the developers will try to build even more, and we will lose our small town. Don't ask the whole state to waste money on road expansions to Black Diamond. Change your development rules and find another way to fund the city that doesn't involve just building dense housing and strip malls and hope that future taxes will come. Thank you.
Phil?
Thank you again, Philip Acosta, Black Diamond. Yeah, I came to this meeting hoping to slow down this rezone issue a little bit so that the public could insightfully look at this plan and see really what it's all about. And yet I'm getting the sense that we've agreed that we're having a meeting on December 30th, that we're going to come in here and fast track this thing. I don't even think that the planning committee has made a decision, or at least from what we've seen at those that were opposed to this rezoning showed at the October 8th meeting. I mean, it's still under consideration, and yet you've agreed to have a meeting December 30th to approve it. What if the planning committee doesn't come out of their next meeting here on Tuesday with an approval. Are you still going to meet on the 30th and hear what they have to say? I want to talk a little bit about the appearance of fairness doctrine. It's a rule, as you guys must know in your positions, requiring government decision makers to conduct non-court hearings and proceedings in a way that is fair and unbiased in both appearance and fact. It was developed by the courts as a method of ensuring that due process protections, which normally apply in courtroom settings, extend to certain types of administration decision-making hearings, such as rezone and specific property. The doctrine attempts to make sure that all parties to an argument receive equal treatment. The doctrine requires that hearings meet two requirements. They must be procedurally fair. They must appear to be conducted by impartial decision makers. I hope to take my comments under consideration. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue and grew up in Black Diamond. And I wanted to add a couple things to what I said earlier because I didn't get it. I don't think that when I was trying to rush to finish, it was clear. I mentioned that the zoning materials in the Planning Commission packet didn't include text regarding the zero lot line information. There was information in there about a proposal to change setbacks in the residential zone to allow zero lot lines. Which would allow an increase of density. But the text that wasn't there was the actual code proposal. It's important to know what's actually going to be the letter of the law, not just sort of an idea there. And it was also at the end of a packet that was not exactly clear where one zoning hearing, one plan hearing began and the zoning hearing, started. So I think that, again, is a problem with the public notice that people are getting. The other problem with the public notice was at the Planning Commission meeting, the zoning map contained errors. When I looked them up, at least two of the parcel numbers actually listed for the hearing were not the ones that were marked on the map. So when you look at it, you're not getting the accurate information. And I don't see how the city can make a decision with that kind of error in the packet. I also mentioned the newspaper that the notice for the Planning Commission meeting of October 8th was published in. You all know that you just had to change the city newspaper because it seems the Voice of the Valley didn't meet the state legal requirement for public notice. So I'm thinking that the notice of the Planning Commission meeting also didn't meet that requirement. These things are important. They matter. People need to see that they're doing it right so that they can come and feel like they'll be heard. The other thing I wanted to point out was that there was mention about the comprehensive plan change getting done before the end of the year. The city's already done one comprehensive plan change this year. I was actually quite surprised that there would be two because there's only supposed to be one. And a lot of the changes that are being considered are directly from the appeal that our team filed. So while I noticed some unhappy looks from some council members while I was up here speaking, I think it's important to recognize that when someone files an appeal,
your time
pointing
is
out that there's a list of things that were missing and then you go and add them in, that means that the appellant found good information that the city needed to consider. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We will be having an executive session tonight, according to RCW 42.30.110.1.I. We plan to last 20 minutes and no action to follow. And you'll need to leave the council chambers because we have no place else to meet. I call this meeting back to order. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.